Amen. All right. I want to take a little thought tonight. Baptized with the Holy Ghost and then into the body. Now, we talked about this. We made reference to it last service. Brother Zeman made reference to it. We talked about Saturday going on to the meeting and so forth. Amen. And we just feel like it'll tie in with what we have been teaching of late. And so that's what I want to. I may shorten the title when I put it on tape, but baptized with the Holy Ghost and then into the body. And then baptized into the body. Because the Bible speaks of being baptized into the body. And the Bible speaks of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we just want to see how this fits into the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And we're starting our reading tonight in the second chapter of the book of Acts, if you'd care to turn and read with us tonight. Now, as we read here in Acts chapter 2, I want you to notice that it spoke of individuals being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, we know what the Holy Ghost is. Amen. It's the Spirit of Christ after His crucifixion and resurrection. And basically, the Spirit of Christ after God incarnated Himself in His Son. We know that Christ, as a human being, the Bible says He became a living soul. Or He poured out His soul. We have a message on why Christ became a living soul. There's two messages on that. But His human part, as a human, when He existed up till He was baptized and about 30 years old. And then, when He was baptized, the Father incarnated Himself in the Son. Amen. That connected the human race, Christ being a human, with the Father, with God. And then He was tested and tempted and ministered and all that through the 3 years of His ministry, of which He was tested and tempted, tried. Amen. God and Christ so united and become one that it was inseparable in the spiritual sense. Amen. And when He died and came back, we know the story, and I won't relate on it because that'll be besides the point, but I want to get the Holy Ghost here a little bit. When He ascended and came back on the day of Pentecost, that was Christ, God and Christ united together. You not only receive Christ, the person, but you receive the eternal God also. Because He said, we will come and take our abode with you. And that we is the Father, Son, united. And what came back was the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of men died. A lot of men gave up the ghost all the way through. Holy men, even Adam. But nowhere did Adam have a Holy Ghost. Amen. And nowhere with Adam's spirit come back upon the human family. But Christ, when He came back, His ghost was holy. And that's why He said He would baptize us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, again, the title of the message, baptized with the Holy Ghost and then into the body. Because Paul spoke of by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And he weren't speaking of receiving the Holy Ghost as an individual, but he was speaking of being baptized into a fellowship by the Spirit of God. And that has to do with our belief in doctrine, because Paul told Timothy to preach this doctrine, and in doing so, you'll not only save yourself, but them that hear you. Amen. Preaching the Word and binding our hearts together. And Paul spoke that your hearts are knitted together with love. Amen. Now, that's the body. And there's many things said about the body by St. Paul. But to clear this up, you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost And especially the blessing part of the Holy Ghost. There's a blessing part of the Holy Ghost, and there's a revelatory part, a revelational part of the Holy Ghost. And the revelational part is that calls you to exercise your senses, to discern good from evil, and what's right and what's wrong, and to reveal this Word of God unto you. Amen. As the wise servant give out meat in due season, the Holy Ghost in you will help you to receive that food that the wise servants give out. And that's a parable spoken of in the Word of God, that at the end time the wise servants be giving out meat in due season to those that could receive meat. But in reading the Word of God, we find, first of all, that we must face God and come to God as an individual. We can't come to God as a body initially. Amen. We all has to come to God, make that decision to accept Christ, come to God, and receive the things of God, be baptized with the Holy Spirit, amen, as an individual, and then the Holy Ghost will help you to understand the Word. And all the while, God's purpose is, amen, well, the purpose is a multifold purpose, but the purpose for the bridegroom is to bring you, blend you together, make you one, and make you one body, which is called the body of Christ. Of course, we know there's other dealings of God in the realm of foolish virgin, tribulation saints, and God's dealing with Israel that is excluded in the being baptized into the body. But there's a group of people that's to be made up of the body of Christ, and that group is given a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body. And this body is built upon the foundation that was laid by Paul. Paul said, I laid the foundation. And you that heard the messages that has been coming forth in the last few weeks understand clearly that the church and the spiritual kingdom of God consist of what God did in the Old Testament. That was through Israel, basically. Of course, that was a time before Abraham was called out. Back in the days of the flood, even before that, God's dealing with people. But when he gets up and began to picture as a city, the gates were set by the 12 patriarchs. Amen. The name of the gates is named after the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And then there's the 12 foundations, foundations plural, and it's important to notice that. The foundation plural, they were laid by the 12 apostles, named after the apostles. But then Paul spoke of laying the foundation. And that gets in the inner city, into the temple of God. Amen. And so we see these things that God did is so beautiful. And the whole thing is for God to create for himself a temple, a dwelling place, that he may come and dwell with his people. Praise the Lord. Now at the beginning of the millennia, we find in there that Christ come back to earth. And it's spoken of in the book of Daniel that one of the purposes for Christ coming and his purpose of being here is to anoint the most holy, among the other things. And we find the most holy is the temple that's built in Jerusalem. When Christ comes and set in there, he anoints the most holy temple, and that's the presence of Christ in the millennium. Amen. Alright, then the 1,000 years expire as Christ ruling. Then, at the end of the millennia, God himself moves his headquarters here. And then when they look upon Christ, it's the throne of God and the Lamb. And they shall look upon his face, and God himself will dwell among his people. So those are some of the purposes of God and what God's doing. But between here and the rapture, he's trying to baptize us into a body. Paul laid the foundation, but the building has not yet been totally completed that was spoken of by Paul. Amen. We saw the shadow of it, the foundational part of it, the blueprints of the plan of it in the early church, but there's to be a body of people in this end time that believe the same thing. The Bible speaks this clearly. How many believes the Bible? The Bible says that they'll have one mind. Amen. And they'll be in one accord, have one goal. Amen. And their hearts will be knitted together. Now, I'm talking about a body here. I'm talking about many individuals that's been baptized with the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about someone coming in and get the Holy Ghost and get blessed of God, and God bless them in a particular way. I'm talking about the body here. Amen. And there is a difference. The Bible speaks of members of the body of Christ. Amen. And I'm going to say this because, and this is one of the things, a Laodicea age means people's rights. Laodicea, people's rights. And we have such independency today that it's hard to blend people together into a body, because everybody received the Holy Ghost and they're blessed to a certain point, and everybody wants to do their thing, go their way, and all those things, and those are rights we have. But when we come into the body of Christ and really see the body, the church, then we surrender some of our individual selfish ways. That is true. Because when Paul spoke of the church, he spoke of the church as a body. And when he wrote letters to the church, he commended them because they did certain things as a group, such as gathering offering for the saints. He commended them. He commended them as a group for their faith and their activities and their love for God and the saints. So they were a body of people. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, and I haven't read my script yet, in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, that we should have the same mind. And notice this, and the same judgment. And that we should be in one accord. Now, one person can do that easily enough, if he's only responsible for himself and God. Amen. But when you become part of a body, then you're responsible for more than just yourself and God. Just yourself to God. You become responsible as a part of a body of people. And it makes a difference, doesn't it? Amen. Just like in a big family, you're kind of responsible for each other and look out for each other and scotch for each other and so forth. Amen. Now, let's look at the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because it all starts with an individual baptism connecting you to God. He that is joined in the Lord is one spirit, the Bible says. So that starts your walk with God. So we're reading in Acts chapter 2, which starts the church. And we're beginning with verse 1. And it says, "And when the day of Pentecost were fully come." Now, the day of Pentecost, we won't elaborate here, but it was an Old Testament feast day. And when this day came around, the Jews naturally would be gathered in Jerusalem. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." This Jews had already begun to work towards this. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as unto fire, and it set upon each of them." Now I want you to note here, they're sitting there waiting for something to God. And there came a visible sign from God, and this is the only time it ever happened the way that we are aware of, as the Holy Spirit came. And verse 4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Now notice, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In other places speak of baptism of the Holy Ghost. "And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now this was a manifestation of individuals receiving the Holy Ghost. Amen. And as the gospel is preached, amen, from this place on, it was people, the repentance was preached, the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection, and people repented and then were baptized, and then they were baptized with water, and then the formula is to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And that's put you as an individual on the pathway to God. That gives you the teacher within you, amen, to teach you the Word. It helps you to have spiritual ears to hear the Word of God. And that sets you apart as a Christian. Amen. Now, there are certain beliefs that's important. And one of the things is, as the church started off here, and this church basically in the realm of the Jews, hadn't went to the Gentiles yet, turning on over, skipping on down to verse 37, and I believe we'll start verse 36 out of chapter 2 also. It says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." This is Peter concluding a sermon that he preached here. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now this is raw sinners. They weren't had any particular teaching concerning Christ or the gospel, and they had no particular teaching concerning of how to accept this man Christ Jesus. So it weren't a struggle to accept it. So here's what Peter said. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Amen. Now I want you to note here the starting of the gospel. Of course, we know, again, being a repetitious, that it went first to the Jewish realm. These are individuals that is touched by the gospel. And they were pricked in their heart. And they felt sorry for their sins and a need to repent. And that they truly did. And of course, the Jewish apostles there, Jewish people, they continued from house to house, breaking bread and so on. And there was no established rule for the body of Christ at this time, because this was in the Jewish realm. God was calling out a people of the Jewish realm to rule with Him in the millennium in and around the Middle East. And the gospel hadn't gone to the Gentiles. But the same gospel goes to the Gentiles. Amen. That Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, especially the baptism and how to receive it and such like. Amen. Now, this speaks of a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And receiving the Holy Ghost. And to further clarify the word baptism, let's go to back up to chapter 1 of Acts 2, just in case there be someone would get to try to make a differentiation between field and baptism as a matter of wording here, because he's speaking of the same thing, the wording of it, whether he says baptism or field here. But in the first chapter of the book of Acts, verse 8, it speaks here of receiving power, chapter 1, verse 8 in Acts. "But you shall receive power." I believe I should back up another verse from that. Amen. Amen. Yes, I think I want to get starting in verse 5. Jesus, as Luke is making a record of this, the happening of Christ and what He said and how He showed Himself alive for 40 days after the resurrection. And we'll pick up with verse 5. It says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Alright, and I believe I'll just stop off reading, because I only wanted to get the word baptism, the Holy Ghost, and relate to being filled with the Holy Ghost. And that many days hence, that was on the day of Pentecost. Amen. So we see here, here's a individual baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that's all between you and your God, and nobody else is particularly associated with this. Amen. And whatever your thinking may be, or doctrine may be, or your previous Christian teaching may be, has nothing to do with this as long as you repent and receive Christ. Amen. But once it takes place, and I'm speaking now as the gospel has come to the Gentiles, once the baptism of the Holy Ghost is given to you, once you receive the Holy Ghost, it's given to you for a purpose. Amen. It's given to you to make you a member of the body of Christ. Amen. And my left hand is related to my right hand in a special way because it's part of the body or any other member of the body. And one member cannot do something without it being some concern of another member of my body. Now, this is getting baptized into the body. That's what Christ makes us. So I want to go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to read a couple of verses here that relates to Paul's teaching as the apostle to the Gentile. Amen. Now, we hear much talk today about the bride. Well, the bride, the true church, and the body of Christ, there is no difference. They're the same. It's just different titles to the true church. Amen. Now, when you get in the realm of Christianity as a whole, then you can have Christians without being in the body of Christ as a operating, functioning member of the body of Christ. Amen. There can be Christians that have the Holy Ghost, that read the Word of God, that walk with God in a certain realm and to a certain point. But Paul spoke of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that high calling of God is none other than that special group that's called out, that's spoken of in Acts 15, call out the Gentiles for His name's sake to be the bride. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to refer to something that I'm thinking of now that I don't have a note on that I might forget if I've already got my scripture and keep your place here in 1 Corinthians. But what I want to refer to now is the parable that Jesus gave about foolish virgins and wise virgins. And there's a sermon on that, not too far back, that we ministered on it. But I want you to note the wise virgin, they were clearly a different group from the foolish virgin. Because the wise virgin had oil, they had understanding, and when they were ready, when the Lord came, they went in. But then, here come another group that begin to wake up. And they're called the foolish virgin, and they begin to knock, "Lord, open unto us." And they even come to the wise and says, "Give us of your oil, because our lamp is going out, or has gone out." But the wise said, "Not so, go to them that buy and sell." That they went to buy, and while they were gone, the bridegroom came, and they that was ready went in, and were sealed in. Amen. And then the door was shut. Nobody else could get in. Which shows there's a group of people here that is separate from the bride, and they're called foolish virgins. They are virgins. Amen. And they have been born again. They do have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost to a certain degree. All of that. But they are not part of the thinking of Christ. They're not part of the working of Christ as it relates to His bride, His body, his wife. Amen. There it spoke of in the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. About the mystery of marriage, how man and woman, though they be twain or two, they are united together and become one flesh. And Paul said, this is a great mystery, but I'm speaking here in relationship to Christ and the bride, he says. And the word says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, I want to get on my scripture now in 1 Corinthians. Having said that, I want to differentiate basically tonight, and I don't think it'll take all that long to do it, but I want to differentiate the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, that person's saved. I believe that person's saved. I believe that person got the Holy Ghost, and that's a good person. All those things are well and good and fine. But if you'll dare to read the Bible, you'll find there was a group that was united in love and faith and doctrine, their hearts knit together, and Paul said they were baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ, and they become members of the body of Christ after they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, after they were Christian, after they'd maybe struggled along, went their own independent way, maybe some of them for years, and finally one day something struck them. They found something real. Amen. And the Holy Spirit gave them desire to become part of that. See? All right, now we're picking up here. This chapter relates the story on the gifts and how they operate and so forth, but I want to, that's not part of the subject tonight. I want to pick up with verse 12, out of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, because here he began to speak of a body realm. And note careful the wording as it was worded by the Apostle Paul. Paul says here, verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, and notice he's not talking about repenting and getting the Holy Ghost or anything, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, when he's talking about so also is Christ, the question has to be asked and answered if we're going to understand the rest of what he said. Now, so also is the body of Christ. Is he talking about the body of Christ that was picked up, that sat on the right hand of God, sat on the throne of God, the one John saw sitting on the throne in the 4th chapter of the book of Revelation? Is he talking about him? When he's talking about the body of Christ? Nay. But he's speaking of a group of people in the earth that God has begun to gather together unto himself, uniting together by the Word and by the Spirit to become his wife, his true church. Praise the Lord. So when he say the body here, notice I want to, actually saying that, I want to pick verse 12 again. For as the body is one, and that's us, and has many members, he's relating it to our own physical body, and all the members of that one body being many, oh, I wish I could say that like I feel it. The members of that body, the body being one, but the members being many. See? And every member of the body function from the head. Amen. And we don't operate so much from an individual standpoint as though it's nobody's business but us and God. Amen. We're part of a body. It is some of my hand's business what my foot does. It is some of my ears, business of where my feet carry me or whatever, because it's connected together and made a unit. Alright. So are the body of Christ, he says. Now verse 13. He says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body? Now, here's a baptism taking place, and it is not the baptism that took place on the day of Pentecost, that type of baptism. It is not the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because that's not what Paul's speaking of. The baptism is allowing the Holy Spirit by revelation to induct you into a fellowship and make you part of His last day move in this end time we're living in. And it would apply to any other age of what God was doing, that God made you part, but we're living at the end time. We're living at the time when the church is to be thoroughly washed by the water of the Word. Amen. And to be washed by the water of the Word, it means it washes some of our human thinking away. And many times the bulk of it is necessary to be washed away to blend with the thinking of Christ. Now, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile. And the Jews and Gentiles thought so much different. Amen. But over here, Paul's getting over at Corinth. There are some Jews and Gentiles there in the church. And the Jews could come in and be part of the body of Christ if they accepted it on the basis that Paul preached. And no doubt there will be some Jews in the body of Christ. Those that came in and sat under Paul's teaching and so forth, amen, no doubt they'll come and be part of that. It says, whether we be bound or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, drinking into one Spirit is not repenting and just getting your heart right with God. You're drinking into one Spirit, but that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about a body, a fellowship, and a baptism. Amen. Glory to God. And you're baptized only by revelation. Can you be baptized into the body of Christ? Amen. It has to be revealed to you, amen, that you're part of what God's doing in this day and hour we're living in. Hallelujah. There has to be a revelation come in your heart. And it has to be revealed to you that you are receiving the mind of Christ. Otherwise, there are 10,000 voices out here, Paul said. You have 10,000 instructors, but only one Father, he said. He said, I have begotten you unto the God by live hope, or with a gospel. So that was a message, and God sent Paul as an apostle to the Gentiles, Romans 8 chapter, or Romans 15 rather than verse 8. Verse 4 of the 15th chapter says Jesus was messenger to the circumcision, had the gospel. But Paul said, I am the minister of Jesus Christ to you Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God unto you that you might be acceptable. Amen. And there's one gospel that will make us acceptable to God. Hallelujah. And it's a gospel that God's giving and that Paul laid the foundation for. Now that was Peter, James, John, all those apostles, and everything they said and did and taught fit right in and is beautiful and is part of the whole. But there's 13 books. Remember when God foreshadowed the city, the spiritual city, the apostles' part was in the wall. And the words speak of 12 foundations of the wall, named after the 12 apostles, Jewish apostles. But Paul spoke, and we'll read it in just a moment, I laid the foundation, and you're getting in the inner city, in the temple ground. Paul said, you are the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel religious now. Glory to God. I see God doing something in this day and hour, and it's not by the works of man. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Taking His Word and by the Spirit, bringing the people together in thinking, in motive, in objective, making us one. We that have received the Holy Ghost. Do we have to come this route to be saved? No, you don't have to come this route to be saved. Amen. Fact is, it's impossible to come this route. unless it's by the leading of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because he has to, you had to be with him before the world was, according to Ephesians 1. And the next verse of this chapter, I talk about being baptized into the body. Next verse says, it says, for the body is not one member but many. Now, if you think you are the body of Christ and has freedom to function that way, I'm here to tell you tonight that you are wrong. Unless the function that you're doing is initiated and led by the Holy Ghost and it leads you into and calls you to become part of the body. Because here he says, for the body is not one member but many. And it continues to say, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it not therefore the body? And he's relating here, he's illustrating our natural body and typing out with the spiritual body of Christ. Verse 16, if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is not therefore the body. In other words, he's destroying the independency that we might want or desire or think is desirable. You don't have that independency when you're part of the body of Christ to operate and do as you please apart and away from the rest of the body. Now, I don't mean to sound cult, like a cult or something here, or I don't mean to sound like I'm trying to be Lord over God's heritage or anything, but I do know there's a chapter in the book of the Bible that's called that's the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews that teaches to obey them that have rule over you, for they watch for your soul, that they must give an account for you. Amen. The ministry has to give an account for you. And this is the way they have to give them for the gospel they preach. What you do, they don't have to give an account for you per se as you go out and do your thing through the week. But they have to give an account from this standpoint that they must preach the gospel and let you know what it takes and what it is to be a member of the body of Christ, and to let you know that you're not Lone Ranger. And let you know that you're part of the whole functioning of God and there's only one mind. Let this mind be in you which were also in Christ. Amen. And I'm reading on a little further here. Verse 16, if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not part of the body? Is it not therefore the body? Is it not for therefore of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now we're baptized into the body now, and all this, it destroys some of our independency, and we should want that. But now has God set the members, everyone in the church, as it has pleased Him. Now verse 18 tells us about it. And there's a word that says, we're not our own, but we're bought with a price. Amen. Then if I'm not my own and I'm working for someone else, then I can't do as I see fit. I have to do as the one that I'm working for see fit. Amen. Praise God, because I'm bought with a price. Paul said, I am a prisoner of Christ. I, the prisoner of Christ. Amen. He weren't speaking so much of the time when he was truly in a physical, natural presence, but he was in presence of Christ to this extent that he said, I die daily. He sold his life out to Christ. Amen. And his will meant little or mattered little if it came in conflict with the will of God. Amen. Now the church that's to be raptured is not just a bunch of loose leaves like a herd of cattle running here that's untrained. There are trained people that have exercised their sin, that know where they stand and know where they speak. Praise God. And again, verse 18, now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. So where you're set, if God set you there, stop your grumbling. Verse 19 says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. Now that's what I want you to get. Many members, but one body. We're many individuals, but we make up the body of Christ. And we just don't make up in words, neither in terminology, but in spirituality and in reality. Amen. Not to say I'm a member of the body of Christ and go on and do your own thing, go on and do your own way. Amen. That's just like saying I'm an astronaut and never flew in one. Wouldn't even know what anything about it was when I got there. Just the terminology. Christ's Bible is not put there for us to pick up certain terminologies and phraseologies that would make it appear that we're believing what Paul taught. There has to be some action behind the words. And there can't, and action behind the words would be futile without a revelation causing you to act the way you act, think the way you act, and do the way you act. And revelation sometimes is initiated by the preaching of the Word. Because faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Now, I don't know. I'll go back and listen to this and see what the Lord is giving here. Because I'm not my own. Amen. I'm bought with a price, and a lot of times I preach things and messages that I wouldn't choose it by my own choosing. Amen. But when the Holy Spirit chooses it, then I'm not going to argue with God. Amen. This is a message sent from the Lord tonight to us, and not only to us, but those in the different countries around the world or wherever this tape and message may find itself. Amen. Now listen as we read a little further here. That verse 20 is beautiful. 8, 19 and 20, all those are beautiful scriptures. But now are they many members, yet one body. And I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of thee, have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary. Now that's what I want you to note there too. Amen. Whether you like someone's personality real well and you feel real comfortable, amen, that is not a determined factor whether they're part of the body of Christ or not. Amen. But you're set in the body. God has set in the body as it has pleased Him. And He might set you down by, I know when we go to weddings or something, another, and they come get you and they'll take you and seat you and so forth. You might want to sit somewhere else, but they seat you on this side or that side. You know how it goes like that. You submit yourself and you go and be seated where they seat you. And you don't fuss about it. You might prefer sitting somewhere else or something. Amen. But they set you there and you sit there and you go along with whatever's going on there. Amen. God in His program has set people in the church. And if you'll read it in the days of Paul, amen, there was men, eloquent men like Apollos. He was eloquent with the Word. Now that's the kind of preachers I'd like. That's the kind I'd like to be associated, eloquent with the Word and just put it together. But sometimes even we just have to bear with each other a little bit. And that only in that way can love has an opportunity to grow. Amen. The only way that we can physically be in shape is use our muscles. If we don't, they go into fat and become useless. And the only way that we can use our faith and let it grow is to use our faith. And the only way we can blend our mind, our spirit, our soul together and to become the body of Christ by revelation is to put forth some effort. And putting forth some effort a lot of times means doing things that you would that you could rather not do as a person, as a human, because of your individuality. But God has set in the church as it pleased Him. Now, we're reading on, because I could say more of that. But the feeble members, He said, are more necessary. That's verse 22. Now we're in verse 23. And it says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And Paul's referring here to our physical body. Some of the parts of our physical body that we might want to ignore. God has set the body together, so we have to give them a little more attention and all. Amen. And I won't elaborate further there, but he's typing out the body of Christ. Amen. There are some members of the body that you just have to give that little special attention. You, as far as a minister, sometimes you might, a lot of people, they don't particular get, are not particularly concerned whether the preacher shake hands with them every service or not. You know, they kind of make their own way, and that's good. But there's others that'll say, the preacher must have been mad at me or hurt at me or something or other. He walked right by and didn't shake hands with me. Huh? You have to give them a little, come on now, you know it's so, don't you? Give them that little special attention there somewhere, amen, in order to, for them to feel comfortable about it. Well, the Bible says sometimes you have to give that special attention to, honor them a little more, the common part. And I'll not elaborate further because the Holy Spirit, He's the teacher. And I'll go to verse 24. It says, for our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to those parts which lack it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for the other. Now, I could ask this, are we the body of Christ? Have we been baptized in the body? And I'll tell you this, unless we say it by faith, we're going to have to strain to say it, aren't we? Amen. But I tell you, it's by faith, isn't it? And then we're working towards these things. There's a goal set for us. We haven't reached some peak that we've peaked at, and there ain't one way to go down the other side of the slope. No, there's still heights in God that we haven't reached yet. Amen. We've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. We've been saved. We've been forgiven of our sins. We've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're independent individuals. And much of that's got to remain. But when it comes to the same God doing, the church, the group, the body, if God baptized you into it and set you in there as a member, then you're part of that, aren't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. I know Brother Doug here. Amen. When I say Brother Doug, he wonder what's coming now. But, he says there's a long ways up here, and there's churches around so on. Like, but said the Lord just seemed to nudge him to come up here. Amen. There's a reason for it, Brother Doug. Amen. There's some words. And sometimes it looks small and looks downtrodden and all that, and I think about what Balaam, when he went and looked at the children of Israel, he looked at them, he saw a group of people with no king, and to him they were in disarray. They were a little people that surely the Lord wouldn't smile upon. So he got Balaam, hired Balaam to go curse them. And when he did that, Balaam went and looked at them, and God wouldn't let him see them as a little beat down people or someone that looked scattered or something. Well, every time Balaam would look at him, amen, he would see, God would show him just what God would show him what his plan were for. And Balaam came back and he told Balaam, so I saw, oh, he opened his mouth and God began to put words, oh, how
in order are their tents. How beautiful are their tents. And he said, I hear the shout of the king in the camp. Oh, hallelujah. By faith, only by faith can we hear the shout of the king in the camp. But it's that revelational word. It's what God's doing. It's the plan coming into place. That's the shout of the king in the camp. Not a person and not a big ado. And Balaam said, well, I'll tell you what, then go look at the hind part, the worser part. And you'll curse them then. Said, besides, I'm going to give you a half, I can give you a half full of gold. I'll give you much riches. Balaam tried to do that again, said, O Israel, whoever blesses thee will be blessed. Whoever curses thee will be cursed. Everything he said, it came right out to what God wanted. Amen. Because God's in charge. We're not a people that sit here, and our pathway is ordained of the Lord. The pathway of the righteous is ordered of the Lord. And I'll tell you, my own personal thing, I love to do evangelistical work. Amen. I love to get fiery. And I love to see the people just rally and come for prayer and line up. And those are some of the things. And big crowds and the glory of the big meetings. Amen. But I've never found the body of Christ out there. I found members of the body, but a group of people that's functioning as one. Amen. And when I say as one, that don't mean you got to be yes men. I thank God there's nobody here like that, as far as I'm aware of. You look at Scripture, anything I teach, you're to examine it. How many knows examining? And see, but I'll tell you that if it's of God and you're of God and you have the Holy Ghost, there'll be something way down deep that's just going to feel right. How many knows it? Who is that advertisement? Miles and I believe on the car that it just feels right. Amen. When this word is waved across your soul, amen. If it's timely word, anointed word, and you're where God wants you, amen. It'll just something about it. It'll just sound right, feel right. And the words may not be produced in a flowery way, and it's not necessary to do that. Praise God, because the Holy Ghost is teaching. But here, the members of the body now. I've got several scriptures here in mind. What am I doing? Amen. Let me just... oh, man. I'll never get through these sermons, but let me get read just a little more here. Verse 25 I want to do again because it has some. It says, See, God set in church. God put the temper of the body together. God put them that's of less honor, that we would think of less honor, God bestowed upon them that more honor, that there should be no schism in the body. See, when God put together, there'd be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member, now here, look at this, and whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Amen. Now I'll tell you, I'm not sure of how all this is to be placed in here, and I don't claim to be one to have all the answers, tell how all of it's going to be and how much we should feel. And so on. God will give us the feeling. I believe, don't you? If we let Him baptize us into the body, amen, but I'll tell you this. John said, if you see your brother or sister in need and close your bow of compassion, of how dwells the love of God in you. Didn't he do it? Amen. Sure he did. And that's not only physical. That, I'm sure he was referring to the physical there, but I'll tell you, a lot of times there's spiritual needs. There's need to get on the telephone, call a brother or sister and encourage them. And the Bible says, encouraging one another daily as we see that day approaching. Amen. Brother, I'm glad to be a member. And I'm not saying this. I'll say this. And I don't know how the Lord will take it. I don't know how you'll take it. But I may not be personally always comfortable with where God put me. But it don't mean I've got to say so, that Lord, I don't want to serve you. I don't want to serve that. Amen. I've accepted this, though. I'm a servant of Christ. And His decision is final. and what my thoughts are. It'll have to fit in somewhere or be delayed or my desire. Amen. But what he thinks is that's the thing. Amen. That means you're bought with a price. Amen. I hope the Lord understands what I'm saying. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm talking here from the human standpoint that I'm not always comfortable with what the Lord would have me to do. Or is that wrong to say that? At least it's honest. Amen. I just trust that the Lord and you understand. All right, let me get a little more here. Verse 27, it says, "Now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set in the church," and he touched the ministry here and other things. God has set in the church. Now notice who said it. God has set in the church first apostles. Now let's look at that just a moment. Amen. And if I was choosing to be part of a ministry, it probably would not be an apostle. It would probably, if I chose to be any part of it, but I haven't. But if I chose to be any part of the ministry, it would probably, my own personal human liking would probably be of the evangelistical realm or teaching realm or something like that. Amen. But God has set in church. So that take it out of my choosing doesn't matter. I remember Brother Brown saying one time, he said, my will was to become a trapper. He loved hunting and trapping and so forth. But God sent him out there to deal among the bigwigs and have to operate among them. How many know? And he weren't comfortable with it. No, he wasn't comfortable with it because he would go out in the motel and one of them came visit him out in the country. Brother Brown, we out there in the motel, and it weren't one of the highest. And this minister said, Brother Brown, get your clothes, get packed. So these people that got you here for this meeting may not take care of you. He said, but I'm going to take you over there and put you up in the finest suit they got over there. That this big motel. Brother Brown said, no, so I chose to be out here. Amen. So he weren't comfortable dealing with the elite. Like that, but he was comfortable alone somewhere with the Lord. Amen. All right. God has set in the church, so that we don't have anything to do with that. Who's apostle, who ain't, anything like that. We have absolutely nothing to do with it. We're all bought with a price. God set in the church first apostle, then secondary prophets, then thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. And then the gift of healing. And then helps. Amen. Helps. I always... Amen. That word helps. You know Brother Spurgeon. I believe the Lord has given him help. Because he helped in so many ways. And you ask Brother Spurgeon if you're at 6 o'clock, if you do something, he'll be here at 5:30. Amen. Helps. See, God used helps. And a lot of people say, well, I don't do anything. Well, what is there for me to do? Helps. Covers a lot of area. See? And God said, in the church helps. You may not sing, you may not testify, and you may, but God, you got your place. And it's important, and it's needful, and we should recognize it. All right. Helps, and then government. That's the way we do. And diversity of tongues. Then Paul says, are all apostles? The answer is an obvious no. Are all prophets? Again, the answer is the same. Are all teachers? And here's another no. And it says, are all workers of miracles? No, some people never see a miracle and never will. But they still good Christian, they're part of the body. And then he says, have all the gift of healing? Again, the answer is no. Do all speak with tongues? Now, there's one for the Pentecostals. No, all don't. But there's many Christians that never have and never will speak with tongues. Amen. But they have their place, and they're just in the important place. Some people feel among the Pentecostals, especially, that they, if they don't speak in tongues, somehow they're less spiritual. That is not proven by the Bible. And that is not sound Bible teaching, I'll say. Amen. Because there's helps, there's different gifts. Gift of knowledge, gift of wisdom, help of government. So, whether or not you speak in tongues or not does not prove that you're more spiritual than someone that don't speak in tongues. Alright, I'll leave that. Have all the gifts of, do all interpret? No, some does. And there's been two or three times in my life I've prophesied, and two or three times in my life I've interpreted tongues, but that's not a normal part of my ministry, that God doesn't use me normally in those manners. Amen. But I thank God there are people that He does use. There's been a few times, and there have been few and far between, but I'll say this. It has been as much. God has thoroughly met my desires in that realm, because I'm scared to interpret tongues. Afraid I might miss it. How about, I'm afraid to prophesy. Afraid I might get off a little. And it wouldn't be disastrous if I did, because God's people will understand we grow in grace and in these gifts and so forth. But that's just not part of what my desires would be. But then here again, it's not our desires, it's what the Lord calls us to do. So if you never speak in tongues, you never prophesy or any of these things, and yet you love Jesus and got a good heart and want to be part of the whole that God's doing, and let Him take you by His Spirit and induct you into the fellowship and make you part of what He's doing, then don't say think because someone does more or is more vocal or more visible or something that you're less. You're not. You're part of the body, and you're just as important as any part of the body. He's saying that. All right. He said, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he goes on with love and so forth like that. I'm going to, let's see, how long have I been going here? Maybe I ought to wait on this, but there's a scripture there. And since we're on the body, I may not get on. Let's get Ephesians 4 and I'll hurry on this. I'll not tarry long, because actually when I heard the tape click off, I thought, and I turned over, I thought, surely that's, I haven't been speaking that long. But the tape don't lie. As they said in the days of Mr. Nixon's presidency, the end of it, the truth is on the tape. Amen. So the tape don't lie. I spoke that long. Amen. It kicked off. But it refers to the body of Christ here, and when Christ ascended on high, what He left. We'll pick up in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and a lot of time we'll use this in relationship to the ministry, but I want to look at it from a different standpoint now. Verse 11 says, He gave some apostles. He gave, now, notice that. And some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Here's why you get, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Not edifying of certain individuals, but of the body. And the edification of enough individuals will edify the body. But all things should be done for the edification of the body. Covet earnest the best gift. Pray that that God will do this for edification concerning the gifts. And I'm not going to get on that. And these gifts are given in till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now look here, folks. I'm going to close this out, and I'm not going to hold you long here and anything, but I want you to get some. Till we all come together in the unity. Now they ain't talking about getting baptized. They ain't talking about somebody baptized you in water and you got saved and you feel like you're a saved person. No, how about the mind? How about one mind, one judgment, and all that? How about feeling like you're part of the whole? Feeling like you're part of the body. See? And he goes on. He tells how the body is jointly knit together here. And once they receive the fullness of the message, they're no longer tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. The body. Amen. Then Paul said, I've laid the foundation. And all those things, they fit right in there. Amen. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop this off here. And he talked about the whole body being knit together, being edified. And see, I could go over all these scriptures that I've got, several scriptures that I just put down here that I'm not going to read because of this fact. Somehow I feel now that maybe what I've said has it has found a little place in their heart. And if I talk longer and worry you and get you saying, well, that sermon's getting long and all this, then it might, I feel like it'd be better to maybe come back another time and preach these things. Amen. But I will say this with this Bible in my hand. I feel like this is what the Lord sent our way tonight. Amen. I'm not saying that I felt I've got a thought and I studied it out and I've done this or I've done that. See, I don't have that choice to begin with. Even though much of the time the Lord allows me to occupy till He comes. And by the fact that I'm obligated to speak, then it's the only prudent thing to do is to get some scripture together and try to have something that will be sane and coherent to speak to you about, and something that'll be a profitable word-wise. But from time to time, there's just something that you feel the Lord's in. This is one of those times. All right, let us pray, saints. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we come to you now, God, praising you, Lord, for your love, your goodness and mercy, and thanking you, God, for this another opportunity to stand before your people. Oh, God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. And Lord, as we took this little text, being baptized with the Holy Ghost or baptized into the body. Baptized with the Holy Ghost and then baptized into the body. Lord, I spoke this far. But I feel, Lord, that there's more that can be said along this line. I'm sure that you'll send it in your own good time. I pray now you take these words, use them, and take them to bless the people wherever they may hear. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.